everybody. Welcome to another episode of Not the 90, your weekly dose of non-league drip from myself, Armin Nutt, and Tom Mitchell. Fantastic weekend yet again in the National League. We've seen so much drama this season, and yet again it was added to it with some more incredible results and some fantastic cup semi-finals upset. It's almost unbridled madness. We're coming up now to what is quite literally the checkered flag of the 2020-21 season, and we are about to see probably the most ridiculous finish to the National League promotion and playoff race. We're going to dig into that and even more. First and foremost, though, I will introduce Tom Mitchell, as always, who's with me for these podcasts. And my goodness, Tom, another great weekend of non-league, of National League football, and the FA Vars final has finally been decided. We're literally in for a great finish to our season now.
Yeah, what a big week of football coming up. But yeah, from the weekend, some, you know, more drop points in the big races to get that automatic promotion spot. And, you know, the playoff race is really hotting up, and drama in the FA Vars. Again, non-league never fails to disappoint. And this one has certainly been a cracking weekend. As I said, we're getting to the business end of the season now. So people are going to start to feel the pressure. You're going to start to see some more interesting results. And the National League season is slowly coming to a close now. So everything is getting closer to being decided. So the drama is really hotting up now. We certainly saw that this weekend.
Tremendous stuff indeed. And we will dig right into it very, very shortly. Before we do that, as always, I neglected to do this in last week's show, but we had so much to cover last week. But as always, A Stranger Living in My Head, that's the theme song to our podcast. If you want to hear more from Moon Party, who made the song and is always living in our heads every time we play it, you can visit their site on Spotify or on Apple Music or any other music listening app you use. Oh, it's up to you. We have a variety of choices, but Moon Party is the way to go, everybody. So check them out on their socials as well. And we have great support from Family Sports as ever for their fantastic non-league attire and kits as well. Greg Clark has demonstrated admirably wearing them in the past how wonderful they are. He's currently in hiding. I'm not going to tell you why. It's for very, very scarce reasons, but he will be wearing a lot of Family Sports during the time he's in hiding. So if you're listening to this, Greg, we hope you're okay, and just take care for the rest of the spring. Just make sure you're wearing a lot of Family Sports, okay? Visit their site for more if you want to know about how you can get what some of their wonderful kits as well. And finally, as always, a huge shout out to Official Cestos, big supporters of our show, and they've always liked our posts and once more delivered on sharing our podcast again, and they make some great opinions as well. They do play in quite the low areas in the Essex Leagues, but the Vaults Leagues for sure, they are big supporters of our channel. A shout out once more to them for their grunt and continuous support. So, very quickly, I wanted to give you all the chance to add your thoughts or even your suggestions to the podcast. You can do that by going onto our Twitter feed at NT92pod on Twitter, and it's NT92_pod on Instagram. If you want to send us any questions or queries, then you want to use our email. Our email is podcast@not92.com. Almost messed that one up again. We've had a few of those this season. I'm sure you'll tidy those up by now. But other than that, let's get right into it. So, first and foremost, it is the news. We don't do the fixtures this week. We've got so much football to cover. But the first and the biggest news is, as today is May the 17th here in the UK, and we, I'm sure, me and Tom, are delighted to say that, yes, the restrictions have been eased. The fans are back in grounds. And at last, the wait is over. We're hoping that's the last time we're going to hear the words behind closed doors in any context in football matches in the future. But yes, as of midnight this morning, we had the restrictions eased on the UK coronavirus situation, with the numbers falling every single day, despite the worries with the Indian variant, worrying about the vaccine safe, and it's fighting it with all its might and power, so it helps us enjoy the things we all dearly love. We may be waiting a little bit longer summer-wise in terms of getting a bit more freedom, but the most important freedom for us as football fans is that we get to see our teams play at home at least once in the Premier League and in the National National League, which is the case this week, because with today being the first match in the Championship PLC finals being played in front of fans, there is a lot of excitement as the Loyalists return to their grounds from this evening and beyond until the end of the current domestic season, with the Euros coming up as well, when we'll be hosting 8 games in the competition. So much to look forward to this summer. But yes, Tom, finally, back at grounds. I'm absolutely ecstatic. How are you looking forward to the next few weeks? And are you going to go to any games? That's the most important thing.
Yeah, well, there's a big one on Sunday, which I'll mine up. But anyway, on just the general consensus of fans being back, I am buzzing. And I'm buzzing for every single fan in this country. You know, obviously, not just for National League clubs who've got already games, competitive games sorted, but also now what that's going to give to everyone in the steps below now, the fact that they can go and see their football team. The clubhouses can even be used indoors. That's within government guidelines. But, you know, I can't wait for clubs, to welcome in fans and fans to feel like they can reconnect with their club again. It's, you always have that passion, but it's just not the same when you're denied seeing them. And, you know, as I said, the big drama now in the National League, fans are going to make a huge difference in lots of big games coming up. And, you know, yes, okay, there's no away fans allowed and, there's still limited capacities, but this is the start. This feels like now the start of something where it's going to be consistently growing now with more fans being allowed back in. Eventually, you know, the away fans will be allowed back in, obviously, hopefully, at the start of next season. So now it feels like instead of all the thought of a lockdown coming, very likely to come again, and that's it. We back to watching games on streams. It feels like now this is the start of it beginning to grow. And I can't wait for fans to add that atmosphere. And I think it'll give those little bit of extra bit of an intensity to the games as well. Although certainly I've been lacking intensity, but it will certainly help. And yeah, again, you know, for fans to also reconnect with probably friends they haven't seen for ages. And, you know, just that, you know, fans have probably missed little things like the view of the pitch. So, it's great to have them back. And, I can't wait to see all the fans come back into the grounds. And it should be now a great last couple of weeks in National League to have supporters back in.
So happy to we've made it. I think I said this way back in March. It felt so long away when we found out the restriction easing procedure of how we'd come out of the lockdown period. We've now made it to May 17th, and I think due justice is done. I'm sure plenty of people have been very excited for today in particular because of the fact that they've been in their houses for a whole 14 or 15 or so months. Maybe even longer than that for some, but it's a great feeling for sure to be able to support your team again. So we here, hopefully, at Not 92, will be able to join you on a few of those over the summer once everything in terms of the Euros and stuff dies down, because that's where most of our attention will be this year. But one thing's for sure, the non-league game is definitely going to be well on the live once more when we get to the serious business of the pre-season in August, and we're definitely going to do as much as we can to be able to see as many of you at games as possible and visit as many clubs as we can as well. So it's going to be a really good summer, and we're excited to be able to have the opportunity to watch games in person again instead of behind a laptop or behind our TV screens or even listening to the radio where you're just this minding your business in the garden or something. I don't know. But happy to have it back almost to normal. Epitomised on Saturday at Wembley when I was there to cover the FA Cup final. My goodness, what a day it was. I know it's a competition that ended with two Premier League sides in it and an absolutely incredible success of Leicester City securing the championship. Well done to them. But an emotional day all round for that club. But it's just the feeling of actually being in a ground with fans in it, proper numbers this time. And it felt so good, Tom. I cannot tell you the feeling that came through me when Tielemans smashed in that wonderful goal in the second half. It really changed, you know, feelings, many feelings, not just me, but those around me who visited and saw that great moment. So I'm sure one way or another, Tom and myself will be at your ground one day soon to do the same thing. But we'll step on with another matter of interest. We didn't cover this initially because we were waffling about a lot of other things in our imaginary green room. But we going to quickly cover the fact that Grimsby Town have actually reversed the decision to appeal their relegation from the NAC, from the EFL to the National League. And that's based on, obviously, the previous ownership who were there at the time making the case to the EFL about it. It has obviously been correctly reversed, so that the new owners who are there now have decided that it's wiser that they go down and rebuild their team to be able to compete in the National League for the opportunity to be promoted next season. So, Tom, quickly, your thoughts on that one, because it seems that there is a bit of sense at last, thanks to the new ownership at Grimsby, and yet nothing from Southend.
Yeah, well, in the last podcast, I lambasted both clubs for trying to, you know, have a get out of jail card to stay in the Football League. But thankfully, they've realised it was a stupid idea and show the National League the respect it deserves, in my opinion. And you're down here for a reason. You know, the owners of these clubs, they've been terrible custodians. There's a reason why Southend Grimsby were relegated pretty miserably in the end, and their fans are certainly not too happy with the ownership. So, yeah, no word from Southend, though. That doesn't surprise me, because obviously Ron Martin is the face of Southend, and he came out on radio sounding so confident, thinking this could actually work, and now he's got an egg on his face, to be honest, that, you know, Grimsby have agreed that they're not going to progress with it. So that's pretty much Southend also out of the equation. So, yeah, he's probably just very embarrassed. And, yeah, that's a Southend Grimsby. You need to rebuild your clubs properly now. That's my message to ownership. You're going to be playing National League football next season. So make sure you give your supporters a club that's going to be competing next season. And, you know, start thinking about how, yeah, you're going to challenge a National League. It's going to be a tough league. And as I said, show it the respect it deserves. But, yeah, I think supporters will completely agree as well that it was stupid in the first place. And, yeah, there'll be, you know, obviously it's heartbreaking for the fans that their clubs have been relegated. But I suppose, you know, it's a new league. There'll be some new grounds to go to. And I'm sure the fans in a way they'll be looking forward to that. Obviously, yes, I'm sure they wish they did stay up. But, you know, I'm sure fans will see the positives of it's a chance to rebuild. But obviously that is down to the ownership. They've got to be doing it properly. But, yeah, just for this, it didn't surprise me at all that, you know, especially how it just fell apart so quickly. Yeah, as I said, I'd said on the podcast last week, it's a stupid idea. And thankfully, they've come to their senses and realised that. And Southend Grimsby will be taking part in the National League next season. So, big summer ahead to get things going and make sure they're up and running for what's going to be a tough campaign for them. As we discussed so many times a season, it's a very, very competitive league.
It is a very competitive league down here. So, Grimsby fans, I'm hopeful that you are prepared for the absolute madness that is the National League next season. And who knows? It will be probably a great experience. And look, I don't see anything wrong with the division. I think you guys can give it a chance for those fans who are a little bit sceptical about the idea of coming down. You have been at this level before, so you're used to playing against, you know, these sorts of teams, these tough sides in this division. And as obviously you all know, it's so hard to get out of it. So that on its own is also another challenge. So I'm sure you'll relish it. And obviously, thank goodness, the ownership over there, the new owners over there have seen sense so they can rebuild the team. And I think they've got a strong core to do it. So focus on that. You yet to hear anything from Southend, but I think they'll have to quash that sooner rather than later, because the EFL won't be able to really take that much rubbish. And I'm sure they'll be very accommodative of any of the of either club that are currently in the top half of the National League that are going to come up next season as well. So you've got plenty of fish to fry there, I'm sure, Ron Martin. This week as well, quickly covering the fact that we last week spoke about it, but Judgment Day for clubs who are awaiting decisions regarding next season and whether they'll be able to be promoted laterally or vertically. Some teams are, I'm sure, very excited in terms of moving up from steps 4 to step 3, which means Vars the trophy, and it's a big step up between the divisions there, but a very exciting time ahead. So me and Tom here will definitely wish them all the best of luck, and we hope to give you more news on that one in a special show later this week. We're going to tell you more about that later on. But all the best to every club who's wishing for, hopefully, an opportunity to move up a level in their non-league journeys. And we are hopefully back you all the way to success in your futures. So another thing which we have overlooked on this podcast is the FA Sunday Cup. We've never actually spoken about it. Tending more or less to the fact that it hasn't really been promoted or ever been on our radar, which we've neglected. And those who I'm sure would have liked their recognition for it, we're very sorry. But we are going to recognise it now. Last year's final was played this past weekend. In fact, yesterday for that matter. And Catfield met St Joseph's in a final at St George's Park. It turned out to be a great final and a fantastic victory for the side from Liverpool, beating St Joseph's by a goal to nil in a great final. It was a very competitive match, a great victory for Campfield as well. So big congratulations to the team from Liverpool for winning what is their probably the most momentous occasion for in their time as a group. So well done to them and all involved. And hopefully it's the beginning of some more of those kind of finals. I don't think they've been able to do this year's competition yet, so they may have to redo it next season. But I like the idea of St George's hosting the final because it means you're using the facilities of the England team and the men's and women's sides. So great potential there. And yeah, great victory for Kentfield, Tom.
Yeah, congratulations to them. And yeah, it's a nice little competition, actually. You know, Sunday league teams getting a chance to play at St George's Park. It's not quite Wembley, but I'd say it's the second best thing to play. You know, that one of the best training facilities in the world. Like, it's being used by, you know, so many big teams staying there. So yeah, it must have been a huge honour for both clubs to play there. And yeah, I'll pass my congratulations on to Campfield. It was a tight victory in the end, but yeah, they got through it. And the celebrations as well, jumping around, loads of champagne. So yeah, what a great day for the club from Liverpool. So yeah, pass my congratulations on. And you know, they'll be looking to see if they can retain it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard. It's one of the hardest competitions to maintain, the FA Sunday Cup, because there's not many teams that go back-to-back in that tournament. One thing's for sure, though, I'm sure they'll do their very best to fight their way to get back there next season, Catfield. And commiserations to Joseph of Luton, who did so well to get there. And as I understand, it was a very good tournament that they all competed in. So next year should be even more exciting. Now, back to the National League and more news on the fact we now know when the playoff finals will be held. Also, where? Why where? Because this year, Wembley hosts European Championships. England are playing every single one of their games at Wembley minus one, which is a quarter final, I believe, in the competition. That would, or last 16 game, actually, in the competition, which would have been in Dublin, but was relocated to Wembley because Ireland is in a bit, is handling the pandemic well, but isn't ready to host fans at such a capacity yet. So Wembley will get the last 16 game. That falls in that area where the playoffs take place. So the National League had a conundrum. Where do we play these finals then? If so be it, Wembley isn't available. Well, we said last week Leicester could have been an opportunity. We're not saying that because they won the FA Cup, it's a good idea to go to their place. But in the end, they've decided that Ashton Gate in Bristol will be the location for the National League promotion final. And that will be on the 20th of June. The following dates are for the other eliminators in the playoff. So from the 5th of June on a Saturday from 4 p.m. is the first match. On Sunday at the same time will be the second match. For the record, it's 5th versus 6th place on Saturday and 4th versus 7th on the Sunday. And then the 2nd and 3rd place teams will play in the official semi-final eliminator, which will be on the 12th and 13th of June, both kicking off at 12 p.m. The promotion final on the 20th of June, a week later on the Sunday at 2 p.m. at Ashton Gate. So there we go, Tom. We now know where it's going to be. Would you have liked to have seen it somewhere else? Or is it one of those where you think, well, we're going to kind of miss Wembley this year, but it would have been better if it was there?
Yeah, certainly going to miss Wembley. I really like Ashton Gate. It's a nice modern ground. And I can see why they've gone for it in the sense that it's a really nice ground. It's fairly big, but it's not overly big as well. It's 20,000 the capacity. So they're thinking maybe having no Wembley will take the advantage of maybe to put it in a more compact ground. So it will feel like it's not as spread out. But I have seen a few people saying that Bristol maybe a little bit too far, especially the teams that are likely to be in the playoffs. Maybe I think a few people still hoping it would have been in the Midlands. Midlands is usually the place that it's sort of the meat in the middle. Obviously, it's the meat middle part of the country. And you've got some great grounds in the Midlands as well, like Villa Park and the King Power Stadium. So you mentioned about where else maybe would I like seeing it. They're probably the two grounds that spring to my mind straight away. But Ashton Gate, it's still a nice ground. I think people don't mind the ground itself. It's just maybe the location. It's quite far to get to. But that is what the National League have decided with. So I was a bit surprised. I personally thought they would have gone with the Midlands ground, like the King Power Stadium, as there was unconfirmed reports that it was going to be. But it was a little bit of a shock and a surprise. But it is Ashton Gate. So, I suppose we'll go on to shortly, you know, who's going to be having the chance to play there. That's still really up for grabs. But they're certainly playing at a nice ground, that's for sure. And a nice city as well, which is Bristol.
Absolutely. And well, with history, to be say at least, Bristol City were a non-league team for a long time before eventually getting into the Football League as far as 70 odd years ago. So they've been in the EFL for a long time now. But they've had their fair share on the Ashton Gate. I think it's a good venue. It's been refurbished quite a bit in the last decade or so from what it used to be, a very compact, a very old ground. Nowadays, it's very modern, lots of space around now for you to be able to navigate. And it's got a few decent facilities there too, which the clubs, I'm sure, will make the most of. And you know, I, for one, I'm happy that it's going to be there. And yes, it's a bit far. It's 2 hours odd on the train to between here and here where we live, for Tom even further in Margate, across the country to get down to Bristol. So, you know, the Great Western Railway may be quite populated on that day, or the Great Western Road from whomever the teams are that make it into the playoff finals. It's going to be quite the journey there and back, I'm sure. Hopefully for one of them with promotion. So now it is time to talk about the weekend we've just experienced. We'll start with the promotion race, shall we? Sutton played Woking, beat Woking 3-2 last week. We told you about that. They needed the win against Maidenhead, as Stockport would be meeting Torquay on the Sunday. And sure enough, Sutton did the job. They beat Maidenhead 3-0. A great performance by Matt Gray's side once again. And it now means they have it in their own hands. Tom will explain to you what happened at Edgeley Park shortly. But the performance from Sutton was exquisite. Goals from Olafe, Ajiboye and Louis John from inside his own half, nonetheless. After Ashby having sent the ball way too far up the field. And in the end, it caused a few unhappy faces in the Maidenhead dugout. As Sutton ended their curse at York Road. They've never won there in their time as a National League club. So a fantastic achievement over Alan Devonshire's side. It may just have ended Maidenhead's playoff hopes, but they still have a few games in hand. May have a bit of luck in their favour for them to still sneak into seventh spot. But that's a big blow for them. A huge boost for Sutton. Now, Tom, with Sutton winning against Maidenhead, it opened the door for it now has opened the door for to open up a gap a bit more on their rivals. Stockport Torquay was second versus third. Did it disappoint, or did Torquay get the points?
Far from disappointing me, Ahmed. It was a brilliant game. For me, it was a little bit cagey earlier on, but Stockport started to really grab the game out of scruff of neck, and Macaulay Southern Hales. What a curling shot. Cut it in from the right hand side, and just it was unstoppable. There was no chance the keeper was going to save that. Curled beautifully into the top corner, but huge credit to Torquay. They responded 6 minutes later. Crosdell didn't have a great moment in the box. It was certainly a stonewall penalty. You know, you can't be making those challenges in the box. And Scott Bowden scored his first goal of the day from the spot 5 minutes before half time, and it was a big second half for Torquay, obviously, to come out. They knew they needed to win, and they were well on course to do that. A shot was fired in just off the bar, and Scott Bowden was there to tap home on the goal line. There was no chance. He was going to miss that from obviously his initial effort hitting the crossbar. And you're thinking there, Torquay could really take the game out of scruff and neck. Stockport were looking to do in the first half and run away with it. But a corner that was whipped in found the head of Ashley Palmer. It was a lovely deep corner from John Rooney. And Ashley Palmer was there at the far post to head home. Lovely palf header, low into the ground. Beautifully found the back end there. And Stockport, you know, for me, you were thinking, right, Torquay's head's go completely down, but that Torquay fought right till the end. In fairness, they threw everything at Stockport, but same goes for Stockport. Any team could have won that game. I thought a draw was a fair result in the end, but it was a great advert for National League. Very end-to-end, very intense. And, it's, you know, Kim Pioka had a moment where, passed it across goal. And it's obviously he had the miss against Bromley the other week. So he thought maybe go for a different option this time. And you felt it was going to be the right option when it fell to Lemon Havens in the box, but he slipped at the crucial moment. And, Torquay were under the cosh a bit at the end, though. Stockport were piling men forward. Newbie had some decent-looking moments on the left-hand side, but there was a shot he curled wide, and, Stockport also working out to the right-hand side a lot, trying to get those balls in. But Torquay did stand firm to get a point, but you're looking at that now thinking, for Torquay, yes, it denies Sutton the chance to win it next week for definite. Obviously if Torquay win, that means Sutton won't win it officially, but that really puts Sutton in the driving seat now. And with the six superior goals Sutton have got, as well as the 3-point gap they've got on Torquay, it looks now really Sutton's to lose. And the way the Torquay players collapsed to the ground at the end as well, felt that was a real heartbreaking moment for them. And you know, that they must have felt they had some big moments to win that, and they couldn't quite capitalise. Great effort, though, from both sides. Both contributed massively in what was a very entertaining game of football, and I felt 2-2 was the fair result in the end. And I think that was a result that was certainly well-received at Gandrine Lane.
Absolutely, and Torquay United, I'm sure, will reflect on this particular performance very, very deeply and look to recover soon, because the next two, as Thomas stressed, is probably the most favourable for Torquay now. As we can't say that for Sutton. The Hartlepool game will not be easy. Hartlepool have a chance at getting into the semi-final spots for the playoffs, having seen Stockport drop points against Torquay United. For them, it benefited in the way that they could now possibly be in the semi-finals of the National League if they finish third. They cannot overtake Torquay United because the gap's too big, even if they, on goal difference as well as it being 6 points, they would look insurmountable unless Torquay have an incredible collapse. But they can still finish third and get a chance at having one less playoff game to play, which I'm sure Dave Chandler will take with open arms. Hartlepool managed to do that by winning against Aldershot by 3-1. A great victory for them away from home. All the goals came in the second half from goals scored by Armstrong, Oates, who scored that Maradona-style goal last week. Nicky Featherstone on the spot, giving Hartlepool 3 big points away against a very dogged Aldershot town, who've given all 3 of the promotion favourites, initially promotion favourites, who Hartlepool have dropped away in the last few weeks, so it's a bit too late for them. But they gave all 3 of them a run for their money. So it certainly shows that Aldershot have a lot to build on for next season. Betterbet scored the goal, by the way, just for clarity, from the penalty spot. In the end, not enough. But yes, the top 4 race is interesting, and the playoff race is going to take an interesting turn. Now, Tom, I'm going to give you the reins. It's another week of madness in the race for the playoff hunt. There are 8 teams trying to get in for 3 spots. The drama is unbearable for some, but it's bearable for us. Talk us through it.
Yes, I'm going to start off with a big clash, which was Notts County versus Bromley, 5th against 8th. It was Tate Campbell's second half header, which secured Bromley a vital point at Meadow Lane in the end. And the Ravens took the lead just before the half-hour mark when Mark Ellis headed into his own net. But in fairness, Notts County, they subsequently turned things around. Carl Wooten equalising in the 53rd minute with a really good finish. And Ruben Rodriguez, what can we say more about that man? On sensational form at the moment, he slotted in 9 minutes later, thinking game turned around. Notts County now can look like they can kick on to another big victory under Ian Birchnell. And now, they certainly had big efforts from Jim O'Brien and Ruben Rodriguez. They saw their efforts hit the Bromley woodwork, and Bromley had to survive. But in fairness, Tate Campbell was there. It was a diving header, which brought things back level, 15 minutes to go. So that is a crucial point for Bromley. Not the end of the world for Notts County. Again, it was another good advert for, you know, for National League football, and two teams like Stockport and Stockport County and Torquay United deserve to be at the top end league. And you know, Notts County and Bromley both contributed massively to what was a great game of football at Meadow Lane. And yeah, again, another one could have gone either way. Maybe I think slightly on chances, Notts County felt as though to win it. Ian Birchall felt certainly the first goal was against a run of play from Bromley, but Andy Woodman's side, what can we say more about them? They're, you know, they're staying in the playoff race really well, and that they've got a huge chance of maybe breaking into it. And we'll look at one of the other massive results now. Wrexham, who've moved up into fifth place. What a dramatic comeback it was for Wrexham. They've done it again. Wrexham have come from 2-0 down again, and they've bet it this time. Obviously, last time they came for 2-0 down was against Maidenhead away from home, but this and they got a draw out of that. This time, they went a step further and got a 3-2 victory at Bournemouth. And yeah, obviously, as I mentioned, the trail 2-0 was first half goals from Bournemouth from Kane Smith, and of course that main man for them, Kabongo Tishimanga. But for me, one of the players of the weekend, Reece Hall-Johnson, pulled a goal back before the host, Tom Champion, was sent off. So yeah, that was a big moment for Bournemouth to have Tom Champion sent off, and Bournemouth took full advantage of it. You know, with not long to go, Jordan Ponticelli levelled up for Wrexham, 86th minute, and then 2 minutes later, Reece Hall-Johnson was there once again to get that winning goal. It was a goal that was bundled over the line, but I'd tell you what, you know, Hall-Johnson will not care about that one bit. What a huge victory that is for Wrexham now. Takes them above Notts County into fifth, with Wrexham having two better goals. But it was a frustrating weekend for Chesterfield, who missed the chance to move into fifth spot. A goalless draw against Wilston. Yeah, very, very, very frustrating weekend. And Adi Youssef had a big chance early on. He had an overhead kick which crashed against the crossbar. And then he saw a goal from a corner ruled out for a foul in the end. But Wilston actually played pretty well in the second half. And James Montgomery had to make a smart save to deny Riley Harbottle before Danny Rowe almost snatched a late winner for Chesterfield. But credit to Wilston, you know, the second to last worst goal difference in the league, the whipping boys at the moment, everyone would have had that down as a certain Chesterfield win. But Wilston went there, were dogged, and came out with a hard-earned point. So huge credit needs to go to Wilston for that. And that's a big blow for Chesterfield. Certainly their chances to getting a top five spot. Yes, it's very close at the moment, but that was a big opportunity missed for Chesterfield now. And now, you know, top five is out of their hands, and you know, they need to wait on now. They're probably open for tomorrow night, Wrexham and Notts County, to be a draw. But anyway, on to the next big game in the playoff race, Dagenham Redbridge versus Halifax Town. I'll tell you what, Dagenham Redbridge, are they an outside for those playoff spots? They absolutely battered Halifax Town 3-0. You know, the Daggers start the day 6 points behind Halifax, but you know, they're now 4 points off the top seven. Halifax have dropped out the playoff spot only by a point. As I said, it's very close, but still at the crucial time, Halifax are faltering. And maybe I jinxed them the other week when I said they slightly, you know, they look like they had a fingertip on that top five spot. But suddenly, you know, as the man is what the National League is, Halifax have dropped out those spots. So the goals, the open goal came from Mauro Vilhete, produced a fine finish to put the host in front of the 34th minute, and then double their lead just for half time when Paul McCallum, the main man, headed in Will Wright's cross, and the game was put to bed in the 55th minute. Wright and Vilhete again involved to tee up Angelo Balanta. You know, Dagenham, the form side in the league, they're flying at the moment, and you know what a point it was to them at Stockport, obviously, you know, on Tuesday night. So it's been a, you know, great week for Dagenham Redbridge, and looking to carry on this momentum now. And they're going to massively fancy themselves. Obviously, they managed to go level on points, to stay level on points, sorry, with Eastleigh, who beat Barnet 3-0. So Eastleigh and Dagenham, level on points, that you probably say they're the outsiders to get in the playoffs, but Eastleigh do have two crucial games in hand. So, yeah, they defeated Barnet 3-0 Eastleigh. Tyrone Barnett scored against Barnett. Sounds quite... it's a bit of a tongue twister, that one. Yeah, he scored against Barnett for the second time of the season as well. In the ninth minute, he headed in Pierce Bird's pass. And then towards the end, Tomlinson converted from the spot before Sam Smith wrapped the game up with 7 minutes to go. So, very commanding victory there from Eastleigh. So, yeah, the playoff race is certainly not going away in terms of the drama. And I feel like there's more to come. And it's looking really tight. And you got some good outside shots. You know, as I mentioned, Eastleigh and Dagenham. And, you know, the drama of Halifax dropping outside the playoffs. You know, they're now in ninth spot. And Bromley getting that crucial point. So, yeah, it's certainly been a big weekend in the race for the playoffs.
Incredible matches in all of those playoff rating, all the playoff teams involved. I think we're in for a great finish, and that's not even before the drama of the eliminators has even begun. But yeah, credit where credit's due to the likes of Wrexham for their fantastic comeback at Boreham Wood and a great result for Bromley and Notts County, just stopping Notts County's small renaissance. They won three in a row before this particular draw with Bromley, and it's the first of a doubleheader against them. They haven't played their two matches against Bromley. So Bromley will take heart from the fact that they have managed to get something from this game and now can look forward to meeting them on the final day of the season in a week's time with the opportunity to actually stop Notts County being in getting in the playoffs. But I think Ian Burchell will not want to have it that easy. A lot of this, though, rides on tomorrow night's game between Wrexham and Notts County. And it's very sad that, with obviously here in England, we'll have fans for this game. Wales have only allowed Swansea and Newport to have their playoff ties with minimum 3,000 fans, but Wrexham have none, which is very sad for such a big occasion, such as the game against Notts County, with so much riding on it, Tom. It's going to be a very strange moment for them, thinking that they won't have anyone there.
Yeah, it's, you know, seeing everyone in, you know, the league competitors, you know, be able to have a game in front of their fans. And yeah, it's heartbreaking for Wrexham, especially as you mentioned there, Ahmed. Other clubs in Wales are able to have their fans at their playoff games. I'm pretty certain, there'll be fans if they can get into the playoffs and they get a home tie. So, yeah, for tomorrow night's game though, it's one which I think set up very nicely. Both sides are on fairly good form. I think Notts County won't be too downbeat after. Only picking up a point. I think, you know, Ian Burchell seemed very, very positive. The amount of chances they created, yes, they feel like they should have won it. But I think the performance levels for Notts County have been very good recently. They haven't just won games, they've won games in style. And to have a player like Ruben Rodriguez at form at the crucial time. But again, Wrexham, they're so good at just coming back and having that spirit. And they're not letting that playoff spot out of their grasp. So I wouldn't be surprised, you know, if it's a similar game to what we've seen in Stockport County, Torquay United and Notts County and Bromley. It could be another 2-2 game, to be honest. You know, both sides are on form of scoring goals. So I think it's going to be a very entertaining game. There'll be cagey periods, no doubt, but I think we're going to get a real entertaining game. It's just a shame that there'll be no fans, no Wrexham fans to see it tomorrow night.
Yeah, very sad indeed. But I'm sure they'll be continuing to support their team from their own homes. And I do believe, as I stated, they should have fans in for the playoffs, should they make it in at the end of the season. Mark Drayford, the MP for Wales, is very optimistic, and he, I'm sure, will be able to accommodate that when the season is all done and dusted. Three more results from the weekend that we can't neglect. Obviously, there are still six other teams that don't have much to play for, but they will be looking to build momentum this season. And all three of these results have home wins. Solihull Moors beat Woking by 2-1. The goal scored by Adam Rooney and Carl Hudlin. Nathan Collier pulling one back for the away team after Rooney's opener in the fifth minute. But in the end, Woking fall into yet another defeat. And it's very worrying for Alan Dowson's side at the moment. And they want to improve in the summer. At least this season, they can say we can't really pretend it's a breather, but we have to improve next season. Weymouth and Altrincham, it was a good game. It ended 2-1 to Weymouth, though. Two goals for Andrew Dallas in the 22nd and 78th minutes. So, secure 3 points for Weymouth. Altrincham, who started the season so brightly, the National League playoff winners from the North. They did so at the beginning, but have tailed off incredibly in the last few months. And obviously, a lot of decisions have been made since then, which I'm sure will be beneficial for the club. But in the short term, they will look to improve their squad as much as possible, especially with the there being one of the big other big clubs in the Manchester area in non-league football. I'm sure they'll attract a good amount of local talent next season. So if they get their recruitment right, we might see a strong team next year who may last longer than just the first half of the season. But plenty of optimism, I'm sure, for Altrincham fans in the following 10 or so months when we start again in August. Finally, Yeovil Town beat Kingsley by 3-1. 2 goals from Tom Knowles, and before Simeon Jackson pulled one back from this penalty spot. And winning, the third was scored by Emmanuel Sanupe to secure 3 points for Yeovil Town, and it made sure that they're still building momentum towards the end of this season, so they feel like many others focus on next season, putting a much more sustained push. The name of Yeovil should really be closer and closer into the playoffs rather than being as far away as they are this season. So I'm sure a sustained push next year will be something the fans will be keen to follow through the rest of the season. So the state of play. As we head into the penultimate weekend of the National League, and there are matches still to be played, of course, with, as Tom mentioned, tomorrow night, the big one between Wrexham and Notts County, that playoff race ever so tight. So a lot of the shuffling and moving will be focused on that game. We can't neglect, though, Eastleigh also have two games in hand, as Tom stated, and they're away at Aldershot tomorrow night, and they'll also play Altrincham the following Tuesday. So they have the best chance out of all the teams left in that race to finish in the top seven. And Ben Stremmen's side have not been shying away from the task. They've done very well this season to keep their run going up to the very end. And they can't be ruled out with the amount of games they have. Meanwhile, other games tomorrow night, we have Solihull Barnet, Weymouth Bournemouth and Yeovil Maidenhead. We talked about their playoff hopes being dwindling. But yeah, back to the matter at hand. Yeah, Sutton top, 3 points clear, Torquay United. The goal difference is 6 at the moment, with plus 35 for Sutton and 29 for Torquay United. Stockport have a more superior goal difference but can no longer be in the promotion hunt because the gap being that between them and Sutton is too big. So they will now only hope to maintain third place from Hartlepool, who are level on points with them but behind on goal difference by 14. So it needs to be a massive goal swing. Otherwise, they'll require Stockport to drop points in order to sneak into third place. Stockport themselves will be disappointed to have drawn with Torquay United yesterday for their own personal hopes in terms of getting into the semi-finals. We talked about Wrexham Notts County. They're tied on 64 at the moment with a game in hand, but they are playing each other tomorrow night. Chesterfield just hanging on to 7th place on 63, along with Bromley, who are outside of the playoffs on goal difference on the same number of games and points. Halifax have really had a hard time recently. 3 defeats in their last 5 have seen them drop from inside the playoffs. They were as high as 5th at one point. Now they're down to 9th again. And they have, as I mentioned, EC 2 games in hand in 10th, closing the gap. Dagenham and Redbridge also on a fantastic winning run on the Darren McMahon. The draw with Stockport last Tuesday would do a bit of a dampener, but it helped them in keeping their playoff ambitions alive. It's going to need a lot of luck, but he can't rule them out. 4 points off of 7th spot, and they could throw their hat in the ring for one last big try in securing a spot in the elimination stages at the end of the season. Solihull Moors can't be ruled out either. Even though they have a bit more of an outside chance, they can only finish on 66 points, meaning they need to rely on everyone above them not to win. And it'll be a tall order for Mark Yates' side. I can't ever imagine such a thing happening. Bournemouth have 39 played and have 52 points. Maidenhead more or less are out of it. That defeat to Sutton was one defeat too many. And even though they have games in hand, they won't be able to finish in the top 7. Aldershot, Yeovil, Altrincham, Weymouth, Wilston, Woking, Kingsley and Barnet round off the division. And we're in for some treat. We talked about, obviously, the stakes on the line for the promotion hunters. Well, Sutton can't win the league on Sunday, unfortunately, because Torquay's point just denies them a comfortable success. The only real possibility we see Sutton winning the league on Sunday is if Barnet, rock bottom of the league, do get a result at Torquay. So a draw or a win, even the win it sounds ludicrous, means if Sutton get anything from the game against Hartlepool, that is promotion for the Ewes. It's a big, big task, but they will need some luck from Barnet. It does look like a tall order there because of the status of the two clubs. Simon Bassey's side, though, have recovered quite well in recent weeks. Despite that, though, they didn't have the best of weekends at Eastleigh and were trounced 4-1 by Notts County the week before. So while they're on some kind of rebound and they are playing a lot better under Simon Bassey, this one might be a tough task for Barnet. So Torquay will look into that game, trying to score as many as possible to close the goal difference gap. The other stake is if Sutton do not beat Hartlepool United, Torquay will be on 81 points if they beat Barnet. That will mean it'll go out to the final day and basically Sutton have to match Torquay United's result to become champions of the National League. Should Sutton fail to win against Barnet on the final day of the season while Torquay play Altrincham, should Sutton fail and Torquay win, that would mean Torquay would go up as champions and Sutton into the playoffs. It's the one scenario Sutton fans are not keen to divulge themselves with. And honestly, Tom, none of us want to think of it. But Sutton can take the title this weekend. It might just be, though, that Barnet won't be the best team to rely on for such a tough task.
Yeah, I mean, when they came to Sutton a few weeks back, they were very tough to break down, but this, you know, seems to be a bit more easier to break down in recent weeks. As you mentioned, Ahmed, heavy defeats at home to Notts County and then at Eastleigh the weekend. And Torquay, for me, they're putting a pretty good performance yesterday. The result, obviously, will be deflating. But when they analyse the performance, they'll still see the performance level was high. The play before Sutton, Torquay just put that pressure on. I mean, it sounds absolutely mental. If Torquay can really get out there and win 6-0, they'll actually be top of the league. I mean, I think that is unlikely, but I would never say never. Torquay, for me, in front of fans, they're going to be urging them on. They just know they need to keep that pressure on Sutton, and you never know, because Sutton were in this position, similar position, you know, a few weeks back after Notts County, that's it. Title's pretty much almost gone now where Sutton are. So Torquay feel like, well, if Sutton can get off their knees, and you never know, we might get a few favours, might get a couple of favours off Hartlepool and Barnet in the last two games. Or certainly, you know, if Torquay thinking if they can win by a big scoreline and Sutton lose to Hartlepool, Torquay could be back top going into the final day. And it could be an unbelievable final day where let's see who can score the most amount of goals. It could be, it could get to the point where both sides could be on plus 34, for example. And that would be insane. That would be insane if it came down to that, both on 81 points, plus 34 goal difference. It'll literally be who can score the most goals on the final day to go up. So, but yeah, Sutton are certainly in the commanding position. Matt Gray has kept his team really calm, handled the pressure really well, managed to capitalise on two Torquay draws. And yeah, for Gary Johnson's side, for me, they're not going to give up. I expect them to bounce back from these two draws and pick up two wins. And for me, yeah, let's see how Sutton can see it through. It's Hartlepool, as you said, Ahmed, they're going to be playing to get that last playoff semi-final spot. So they're certainly not going to lie down. Got some really good quality. They've beaten Sutton once this season, so yeah, for me, I think it's going to be a really good end to the season. And the fact that Torquay, obviously, as I mentioned, play first, that does add that little bit of extra pressure for Sutton, but Sutton have handled the pressure well. So let's see if Sutton can continue the trend of handling the pressure well. So if they do that, then they will be National League champions.
It's a dream that I'm sure many a Sutton fan or Dward member could never have thought could come true. They have been here before, though, and it was not so much the promotion hunt. They did lead the title race in 2018 before a couple of defeats set them back, and it led to them dropping out of it completely into the playoffs, upon which they got to a semi-final against Boreham Wood. In the end, though, it did lead to a sad end to their season. Boreham Wood getting to Wembley to meet Tranmere, and Sutton once more seeing their season ending at home, and in a way they didn't want it to end. But this is their fifth season in the National League, I think it is, since they were promoted, fifth year in the National League, since they were promoted in 2016 from the National League South as champions. So for them, this is about going to probably be their biggest achievement as a football club in their plus 100 year existence. So who knows what could happen on Sunday? There will be a lot of hope that there was a lot of hope yesterday that Torquay would not get the point that they needed to be able to catch Sutton, or even the three that needed to catch Sutton in the first instance. So they'll take heart, Sutton United, knowing that they have the advantage. And all they can really hope for is that Barnet do something against Torquay. But then again, they are focused on their own task. Matt Gray is a very disciplined manager. And I've heard Jason Goodliffe talk on Saturday saying that we're not going to really focus on Torquay on Saturday afternoon. Really, we're going to try and drill our team to play against Hartlepool, because Hartlepool are such a challenging side. And harking back to the first game they played against Sutton, it was a very competitive game, only decided by a set piece back in January. So it shows how tough it was for Hartlepool against Sutton. And in corresponding fixture last season, Sutton beat them 3-1 with almost near the same team that they have now. So this sort of scenario is possible. Let's say that. It's also the game that was the end of Sutton's season when the pandemic hit, where they drew 1-1, nearly won the game. So they have a reference point of how to play against Hartlepool already at home. But this time the stakes are higher with the fans there after a year or so out. This being the first proper game since December, where we did have a small period where fans were out of the games, but it didn't feel the right sort of way. This is big, though. It means a lot for them. Torquay and I will hope for something from Sutton, a little bit of a favour. If they get their job done and win by a convincing margin, then it will play into Sutton's hands greatly. But goal difference, as Tom said, plays a huge part in this. The playoff race is its own little battle, and Stockport's Hartlepool chasing the elimination spot for a favourable run into to Bristol. We'll see what happens. Almost said Wembley. We have to remember, it's not there this year. But anyway, we're in for a great finish, I'm sure. We're going to profile more of that next week. So we have a little bit on the FA VARs. The reason why we're going to cover it in a smaller quantity today is because we're going to do a special show this week centered around non-league finals day. This Saturday, the National League Northside Hereford and pitching inside, Holdchurch, who knocked out many National League sides on the way to the final, will meet in the FA Trophy final, while Warrington Rylands, who did fantastically on Saturday to beat Walsall Wood 2-1, will meet Binfield at Wembley for the FA VARs. Those currently are being held by Harrogate Town of EFL League 2, who beat Concord Rangers. Had a lump in my throat just then. Concord Rangers in the trophy final, and Consett and Hepburn had a fantastic 3-2, which Hepburn came out on top in. So this time around, we're going to not talk too much about it, but very quickly, Tom, big victory for Warrington Rylands against Walsall Wood, who pushed them all the way. In the end, Warrington come through. We'll obviously cover more about it, but how big is this for both Binfield and Warrington, who are more a rugby league town, but are getting a big day out of Wembley? How big is it for these two clubs, especially, to get to the home of English football for one massive day out?
It's what, you know, these players dream of, and that's the beauty of the FA VARs, isn't it? And I don't know, I love the FA Trophy. The FA VARs is the clubs that are really far down that non-league pyramid, and for them, it's that once-in-a-lifetime day out at Wembley Stadium, and obviously, to have fans back as well for these fans of who you know come through thick and thin, you know, rain or shine. It's going to be an unbelievable day for the supporters of Warrington Rylands and Binfield. And yeah, credit to Warrington Rylands as well. On Saturday, it was a tough game in the semi-final against Walsall Wood, but they were very resilient, handled themselves very well. And, you know, to think that the key for them is they scored the first goal in that game, and, you know, they saw it out really well, and they managed to obviously get that penalty towards the end. And, you know, it was a great finish from the spot from Elliot Nevitt. And from then, really, Warrington Rylands were in a commanding position, and Walsall gave it a go at the end, and you know, got that very late goal. But it was enough for Warrington Rylands to get through to that final. And I mean, what an achievement, as you mentioned, Ahmed, mostly known for being a rugby league town. So it'd be nice that the football club gets a bit of spotlight. And yeah, I can't wait. Obviously, we'll preview it more in depth. But I think it's going to be another great game, and it's certainly got a big act to live up to, you know, from the Concert and Hebburn final. But I'm sure it will live up to it. And these are two really good sides coming together on Saturday at Wembley Stadium. So, yeah, it should be a great occasion, and one I'm certainly looking forward to watching.
Absolutely. It should have also, there will be fans for that final, as well as the pilot testing from the last week or so has been successful. We have obviously now welcomed fans back in limited capacities, of course, but there'll be 1,000 fans of each club at the Mars final and 3,000 in the Trophy final. But again, more for us to divulge in a special Not the 92 Extra, focusing on non-league finals day later on this week, because we're going to try and get the perpetrators involved of all four clubs to give us their thoughts and how excited they are to be able to be at Wembley for such a wonderful occasion. And I can tell you for sure, Warrington will bring a following, because if stark comparison, when they last played in the Rugby League Challenge Cup final at Wembley, they brought 16,000 fans from their town down to watch their match. And I think, and they won it as well, if I remember, against Hull KR. So it was a massive following. It's been a while since they were last there, but they have huge, huge support for their rugby league team. So I, for one, would never, ever rule out the chances of them not bringing a solid following, if not the maximum possible, for this final. So keep an eye on that one. It will be a fantastic occasion, I'm sure, on Saturday. But yeah, Not the 90 Extra with us focusing on non-league finals day later this week. Just keep an eye on our socials for when we are releasing that one live. So this week, our star of the week is going to be a tricky one, Tom. We haven't thought about it beforehand. We actually have to think about this on the spot. We're going to have a hard time, this one, because there have not been as many standout performances in the National League this week. But is there anything you can think of which is worthy of star of the week this week?
For me, my nomination is going to be Louis John scoring from his own half. Yes, all right, look back at it. Could the keeper have done better? Okay, maybe. But I'd still say centre-half, scoring from his own half, composure, lovely first touch, drilled it with enough power to make sure the keeper couldn't quite get it. Yes, sir, he could have got it. But for me, yeah, I think that just topped off a commanding centre-half performance in Louis John. Shout out has got to go to Reece Hall-Johnson. They're my top two. You know, Reece Hall-Johnson getting massive goals to give Wrexham 3 points. But for me, just for that standout goal, and his overall performance at York Road, I'm going to give it to Louis John.
Well, there you go. King Louis of Sussex has won our Star of the Week this week. And yeah, it was a great goal and fantastic. I mean, he's actually put it on his own social media. He's that enthralled about it. A few of the fans have said he shinned it, but I'm not going to quite too much on that one. But that goal was the third of a crucial victory for Sussex in the promotion race, and this week he's our star of the week for the Not 92 podcast. So well done to him and everyone at Sutton United. I guess, Tom, we have practically covered everything, and one thing's for sure, tomorrow's going to be interesting in the playoff hunt and the promotion race. But that's it from us. We've enjoyed this one. We hope you have too. Before we do leave, Tom, see us home. Hopefully we're in for a fantastic week.
100%. I can't wait. This is, for me, you know, weeks like this when you're covering non-league, these are the weeks that you want. You know, Sutton going for the league, and then the non-league finals day as well. How can you forget that? And fans being back as well. You add that into the equation. And Wrexham, Notts County, both on 64 points, dueling it out tomorrow night. You've got so much drama this week. And we'll have it covered here on Not 92. It's certainly a busy week ahead.
Brilliant. Tom, thank you very much as ever for your contribution, mate, and I appreciate you as always, coming on. He's got a big brain on here for non-league football, so always handy to have one on our show. But yes, that's not the last show you're going to hear from us this week. We'll be having our not going to extra for the FA Vars and FA Trophy finals coming out later on this week, so do keep an eye on that. Again, a big thank you to Family Sports and Moon Pie for their support of our podcast, especially with their song "Living Strange Living in My Head." Again, if you wanted to add any suggestions to our show or anything you find interesting, please send them in on our email at podcast@thenon92.com and NT92pod on Instagram and on Twitter. This is just the underscore between NT92 and pod. Our next one will be late this week. It's not the last you'll hear of us, but we'll definitely be seeing you guys very, very soon. But until then, for the fans who are attending games from tomorrow onwards, wherever you are going, we hope you enjoy it because it's been a long time coming. And one thing's for sure, we're very excited that you guys are back. So until the next one, everyone, and if you don't know now, now you know. Take care and goodbye.